And this is our starting point this morning, what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 9. He said, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." He's speaking to Christians. "If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells with you. Let's pray together. Father, it's a beautiful Sunday morning, and it's a great opportunity again, a great blessing to be in this sanctuary among these good Christian friends and those who might be visiting with us today and those who might be seeking a real relationship, a true relationship with you. We have opened your precious, inspired, and infallible word, a great gift, the greatest gift outside of salvation that you have given to us, the Word of God. And now, Father, we pray that the one who inspired the writing of this word will now come and inhabit this place and lead and guide us as we study these great truths today. Thank you for your grace and your goodness. I pray for those who are seeking you. I pray that they will find you today through repentance and faith. Bless us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to tell you about a good friend of mine. This is a good friend of mine who has never left my side since the day I gave my life to Christ. Since the time I was saved, this friend has helped me. He has always been there for me. This friend of mine has encouraged me. When I have needed comfort, he has given me comfort. When I have needed wisdom and guidance, he has given me wisdom and guidance when I've been wise enough to seek it. This friend has challenged me. He has helped me to learn. He has helped me to grow as a Christian. This great friend of mine has helped me to understand the Bible like no one else. He has encouraged me in my Christian service when I have felt down and felt discouraged. This friend has always come to me and encouraged me in the service of Christ. As I have lived for the Lord in this world, this friend has given me joy. And he's given me peace. He's given me direction. He's given me inspiration. He's given me the sense of God's presence in my life and God's love for me and what God has done for me. When I've been in the valley, this friend has encouraged me and he has given me hope. When I have been on the mountaintop, this friend has come and he has rejoiced with me greatly. When I have needed it, this friend has corrected me and he has disciplined me. And even when I have grieved him, even when I have ignored him, this great friend of mine has never left me. This friend, the best Christian friend I have, this friend is the Holy Spirit of God. And not only is the Holy Spirit of God my best friend, the best friend I have as a Christian, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit of God is your best friend too. And today I want us to understand a little better, perhaps, in a greater way, to find a greater appreciation for this great friend of ours, the Holy Spirit of God. And so I want to look at some of the truths that the Bible teaches us about the Holy Spirit. First of all, the person and the deity of the Holy Spirit. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit is not an it. You know, back in the day, there used to be this slogan and this campaign that came from some kind of ministry somewhere, and you would see bumper stickers with this statement on it, "I've got it." And the it they were referring to, apparently, was the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of God is not an it. The Holy Spirit of God is a person. I would be a little offended if you called me an it. I'm not an it. Well, sometimes I act like a it, but I'm not an it. I'm a person. Well, the Holy Spirit of God is a person. He is a divine person. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God speaks. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God feels. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God communicates and guides and directs. All of the attributes of personhood are attributed to the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit of God is just as much a divine person. He is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. Now, we have a little trouble sometimes imagining a spirit, or as the old King James Version would say, a ghost, the Holy Ghost. See, we can identify with a father. We know about fathers. We can identify with a son. We know about sons. But we have a little hard time connecting with a spirit, with a Holy Ghost. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of God is a person, just as much, the Bible teaches, a divine person, as God the Father and God the Son. When Jesus gave us the Great Commission just before he ascended into heaven, he gave some instructions to the church. The Great Commission, just as much valid today as it has always been. And here's what the Lord gave in the Great Commission to the church. He said, we are to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. This morning in deacons' meeting, we were talking about local ministry and local missions. You know, the mission field for our church begins at the front steps of our church, at the doorsteps of our church. Jesus has given us a commission. He's given us a guidance. He's given us a direction. He's given us orders. He is the Lord that we have been commissioned to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And the Lord has instructed the church, as we do that, and as people are being saved. Now, I want to tell you, I have reports of great revivals, great waves of people coming to Christ, not necessarily within the confines of the United States, but there are different parts of the world today where the gospel is being preached, and people are being saved in great numbers. That's exciting. In Central Africa, some parts of Asia, great waves of people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We have been instructed to carry the gospel to the entire world. And then the Lord instructed us that those who believe in Jesus, we are to baptize. We are to give a symbol to the world, to themselves, to the church, to the world, that they have received Christ. And here's what Jesus told us in Matthew 28:19. We are to baptize those who believe in Jesus, and listen to the construction, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was not a very good English construction, English grammar student. You know, I speak Southern. Sometimes Southern doesn't exactly mesh with how they say you're supposed to write and talk and all that kind of thing. But I am fascinated by the original languages and how things are worded and how things are constructed in the original languages of the Bible. In the original language of the Bible, the construction of that phrase, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, shows that each and every one of those personalities, Holy Spirit, God the Father and God the Son, are equal. They are equal in stature. They are equal in personality. They are equal in presence. They are equal in power. And so the Holy Spirit of God is a person. Here's what the Bible teaches. And I know it's a mystery. And I know we scratch our head about it. And I know we wonder about it. And people have asked me about it. And I wish I had a good answer for it. But here's what the Bible teaches. The God we worship is one God, who is the perfect union of three divine persons. Persons who are equal in essence and attributes. We worship one God, who is the perfect union of three divine persons. Now, I can't explain that to you. That's a God thing. But I believe it. In fact, when we go to heaven, We're going to get to explore these great issues for all eternity. So whatever you don't know now, you'll get to explore in heaven for all eternity. So the Holy Spirit of God is a person. He is a divine person. Here's the second thing. It is the Holy Spirit of God who inspired the writing of the Bible. The Holy Spirit of God is the divine author of the Bible. I hope you treasure the Bible. The Bible's not just another book. The Bible is an inspired book. It is a special book. God is its author. Yes, he used men to write it, and he guided those men as it was being written. But the Bible is a divine book inspired by God. And the person of the Trinity who inspired the writing of the Bible is the Holy Spirit of God. As Jesus is the agent of creation, the Holy Spirit of God is the agent of inspiration for those who wrote the Bible. Listen to what Peter wrote, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, you can't make the Bible say what you want it to say. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men spoke and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter is saying that the Bible's not just the product of the hearts and the minds and the will of the men who wrote it. The Bible was written by men, but they were men who were moved and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God so guided and directed the writers of the Bible that what they wrote that is included in the Bible is inspired, infallible, and inerrant. So the Holy Spirit of God is a divine person, and he is the divine author who moved those men to write the Bible. The Bible is such a special book. I hope you treasure it. The Bible says for us to treasure the Bible and to read the Bible and to study the Bible and to value the Bible and let the Bible be the guide for what we believe and how we behave and how we conduct ourselves in this world. Here's what that means. As we will see in just a moment, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you as a Christian. So as you're reading the Bible, the one who inspired the Bible lives within you to help you to understand the Bible. Ain't God good? Here's the third thing I want us to understand about the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God who convicts those who are lost and draws them to faith in Christ. In John 16:8, Jesus said, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to convict people. Have you ever been convicted? Not of a crime necessarily, but have you ever felt conviction that you've said something wrong, you've done something wrong, you're not doing the right thing? There's this thing within you that you feel guilt over something you have done. That is called conviction. I have experienced conviction when I get the last piece of pecan pie and I eat it without Miss Iris knowing it. For just a momentary moment, I experience conviction until the sugar kicks in and we have joy in the house. What is conviction? It's the understanding that you need God. The Holy Spirit of God convicts people of their sin and of their lostness and of their need of Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that warns people that there's a judgment coming. You're not going to live forever. And we are all accountable to the God who made us. And the Bible says one day we're going to stand before that God and we're going to give account of our life to the God who made us and the God who loved us. If you are a Christian this morning, you are a Christian because of the convicting, drawing work of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. It was the Holy Spirit of God who convicted you of your sin and lostness. Now, he may have used a preacher. He may have used somebody else to convict you of your sin and your lostness. But it was the Holy Spirit of God behind whoever was he used who opened your eyes to your need of Jesus and to the truth of the gospel. It was the Holy Spirit of God God who drew you to Christ. Here's what the Bible says. There is none who seeks after God, no, not one. You know what that means? That means left on our own, none of us would have ever sought God. Left on our own, no one would ever seek God. We're not saved because we sought after God. We're saved because God sought after us. I'm not a Christian because one day I woke up and said, man, I need God in my life. And I began to seek after God. I'm a Christian because God convicted me of my sin through the work of the Holy Spirit. And God opened my eyes to my lostness and to my need of Him. And so it's the Holy Spirit of God who convicts a person of their sin and of their lostness. And it's the Holy Spirit of God who opens a person's mind and heart to the fact that they are lost and they are separated from God and they need to be saved. You know, it's a sweet thing, it's a special thing to see somebody heavy under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's been a little while, to be honest with you. But I've seen somebody walk an aisle or be in some other setting or something who's come to me and say, Brother Chris, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I'm not right with God. Things are not right in my life. I'm not living the way I'm supposed to live. I want to be saved. And I know that's the work of God in their life. Today, if you're being convicted of your sin, if you're feeling guilty for the things you've done, if you're feeling guilty for the way you've been living, today, if your heart is being drawn to God, today, if you want to change and you want to believe and you want to be saved, that is the work of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. He's been working in you, opening your mind and your heart to your lostness and to your need of Him. That is the God who made you. That is the God who loves you, reaching out to you, drawing you to Himself. But let me give you this warning. The Bible warns us that the convicting, drawing work of the Holy Spirit of God can be resisted and it can be refused. I resisted the convicting, drawing work of the Holy Spirit in my life for a long time. When I was a kid, there were often times when I was sitting in a church just like this, and the invitation time came, and I knew in my heart I needed to walk that aisle, and I needed to give my life to Christ, and I held on to the pew, and I didn't do it. There were many times before I was saved when the Holy Spirit of God did His work of convicting and drawing in my life, and I fought it, and I resisted it, and I would not do what I knew God was drawing me to do. Well, thank God the Holy Spirit of God didn't give up on me because He continued to do that in my life until the day came that I said, no, no longer am I going to resist what I know God wants me to do. And I gave my life to Christ. See, the Holy Spirit of God is God. He's powerful. But He's not going to gatecrash your will. He's not going to overwhelm you or overcome you and turn you into a robot so that you will do what He wants you to do. He's going to appeal to you. He's going to draw you. He's going to convict you. But it is up to you to make that decision that I want to give my life to Christ. The Holy Spirit will open your eyes. He will draw you. He will give you an understanding. But it is up to you to let go of that pew and walk that aisle. Or you can be saved in any setting, of course, to give your life to Christ. And so the Holy Spirit of God, His convicting work can be resisted. It can be refused. And listen, there's a danger in that. I didn't understand it before I was saved. I understand it now. There's a danger in that. The longer you resist the Holy Spirit of God drawing you to give your life to Christ, the easier it is for you to continue to resist. What you are today, you'll be more that way tomorrow. If you resist the Holy Spirit of God today to give your life to Christ, it'll be easier to do that tomorrow. What is strong today may not be as strong tomorrow. Each day that a person resists the drawing of the Holy Spirit, the closer they come to their hearts forever being closed to God forever. God never shuts the door of a person being saved. God doesn't shut that door. We shut that door when we resist what God wants to do in our life through the Holy Spirit. It's dangerous to resist the Holy Spirit. That's why people need to be saved. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And so today, if you know God's working in your life and you've been thinking about this and this is on your life and you have this burden and you have this guilt and you have this conviction and you know you need to be saved, let me give you counsel. Give your life to Christ today. It is the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life now and for eternity. And God loves you and He wants to give you everything that He has provided through Jesus Christ. Not only that, the uncertainty of life means it's dangerous to resist the convicting and drawing power of the Holy Spirit. You never know about life. I mean, it broke my heart. It broke my heart. The condo thing down in Miami that fell. And all of those people in a blink of an eye lost their life. They were not planning on that. They had plans for the next day to go to the beach, to go shopping, to have a family time, to do this, that, or the other. You say, well, Brother Chris, you're trying to scare me? No, I'm just telling you the facts of life. You never know. And among those who died in that tragedy, there were young people, there were old people, people in the prime of life, people who were healthy, people who were strong, people who were sick. There were all kinds of people. And in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, their life was over. And so what you know you need to do, you need to do today. It's a good day to be saved. It'll change your life. It'll change your eternity. And so the Holy Spirit of God is God. He's the one who inspired the writing of the Bible. He's the one who does the drawing and convicting work of drawing people to Christ. The Holy Spirit of God also is the one who works in the life of the Christian and in the church. You see, it's the Holy Spirit of God who draws us, and when we're saved, He stays with us. The Bible teaches that in this world, the Holy Spirit of God is involved in the life of the Christian in a great way. In John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, Jesus told Nicodemus that for him to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. In other words, when a person believes in Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit of God that takes what Jesus did on the cross and He applies it to their life. Jesus died, shed His blood. The Holy Spirit of God takes that sacrifice and He applies it to the life of the one who is believing. Listen to Titus 3:5. We're saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy He saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. When a person believes in Christ, it's the Holy Spirit of God who takes the blood of Jesus and applies it to their life, washes away their penalty, their stain, and their guilt of sin. It is the Holy Spirit of God who regenerates us. It is the Holy Spirit of God who gives us new life in Christ. And the Bible says the moment a person gives their life to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within us. Can I give you a confession? You know, I've been through college. I've been through seminary. You know, I've been studying the Bible all of my life. I still don't understand what it means that the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. But that's what I believe, that He permanently attaches Himself to the life of the Christian. That's what the word dwell means. Doesn't mean He comes to visit you. That's a different word. The word dwell means that He comes to make His home in you. So the one who draws us and applies what Jesus did on the cross, He comes to live within us when we are saved. He attaches Himself into our life. Listen to Romans 8, verses 9 through 11. But you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. In other words, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. No matter what you claim. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus from the dead has also given life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. In other words, when a person is saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within them. He joins Himself to them. And as long as a Christian lives in this world, the Holy Spirit of God will be involved in the life of the Christian. See, the Lord doesn't save us and then leave us on our own to do the best we can to hang on to our salvation and to live for Him. The Lord doesn't save us and then say, well, now I've done this work of saving you, now it's up to you to keep your salvation. It's up to you to try to live for me in this world. When a person gives their life to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within our life to help us to live the Christian life. The one who drew us to Christ, the one who applied what Jesus did on the cross to us, He comes to live within us. Now, what does the Holy Spirit of God do in the life of the Christian? Number one, He secures and seals our salvation. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Not only does God save us, He keeps us saved. And how does He keep us saved? He keeps us saved by the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who secures our salvation. I wouldn't trust the best 10 minutes of my life to secure my salvation. It's the Holy Spirit of God who does that. Not only does the Holy Spirit of God seal and secure our salvation, He comes to live within us to begin and continue the work of sanctification in our life. Now, that's a $10 word, right? Justification is when we are saved, when God drops the gavel in the courtroom of heaven and declares us not guilty. That's justification. Glorification is when we go to heaven and we are glorified in the presence of Christ. But in between justification and glorification, there's sanctification. Now, what is that? Well, sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian to constantly work in us to help us to be more holy and more like Jesus and less like the world as we live for Christ in this world. It is the Holy Spirit of God who's working in your life to make you more holy, more Christ-like, to work out all the old stuff of the old life and to work in all of that of the new life that you have in Christ. And so the Holy Spirit of God does the work of sanctification in our life. He seals us. He sanctifies us. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit of God equips us and empowers us to serve the Lord in this world. It is the Holy Spirit of God who empowers us to share Christ with others. He empowers us to grow in our victory over Satan and sin and temptation. And finally, the Holy Spirit of God is the presence of God in our life. He's our best friend. He loves us. He encourages us. He gives us hope. He gives us strength. He gives us wisdom. He leads us and He guides us. He helps us to understand the Word of God. He convicts us. He chastises us. He corrects us. He blesses us. He hugs us. He approves us when we are right. And so the Holy Spirit of God, the one who drew you to Christ, continues to live within you as a Christian. Now here's the truth, and I'm hurrying. Here's the truth. When a preacher says he's hurrying, here's the truth. While every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, for us to know the full measure and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life, the Bible says we must daily yield control of our life to the Holy Spirit. Every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says for us to know His full measure, the full measure of His ministry, we are to daily yield control of our life and who we are to the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. We are to make that decision. We are never commanded to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but we are commanded often in the Bible to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Two separate things. To be filled by the Holy Spirit means that every day I acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, and every day I yield control of my life to Him. I say, Holy Spirit, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being in my life. Now help me today, not tomorrow, but help me today to love God, to live for Him. Help me today not to yield to temptation. Help me today not to yield to sin. Help me today to grow as you would have me to grow as a Christian. Help me today to live the Christian life. You can't live the Christian life on your own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is our best friend in this world. And through all the days that we will have in this world, He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. And finally, when it comes time for us to leave this world, your friend, the Holy Spirit, He's going to come and take you by the hand and he's going to lead you home. Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That verse doesn't mean that God enjoys watching his people die. What it means is this, that a child of God will never die alone. That when it comes time for us to leave this world, the angels will be there, and so will our friend, the Holy Spirit of God. And it is the Holy Spirit of God that will take us by the hand and lead us home. Our friend will never leave us and forsake us in this world, and he will take us to that place that Christ has prepared for us. Not only does the Holy Spirit of God live within Christians and empowers the Christians, he's to empower the church as well. The Holy Spirit of God is the presence of God in the church. More than anything else, a church must always strive to be guided, directed, and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God in all that it does. Every church must be a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church where the presence of God, the power of God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, has free reign to work among the people, to bring those who are lost to Christ, and to work among all of us so that we together can work together to be the church that God would have us to be. The hymn writer had it right. All is in vain unless the Spirit of the Lord come down. And so the Holy Spirit of God is a person. He is God. He is the divine author of the Bible. He is the person of God who convicts and draws the lost to give their life to Christ. He indwells us and he blesses the believer. He is blessing the church and he wants to be in charge of the church and involved in the church. The Holy Spirit of God is a blessing. Now today, are you being convicted of your sins? Are you being convicted of how you've been living? Are you being drawn to Christ? My friend, that's not Brother Chris. That's not anybody else. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit of God reaching out to you. That's the Holy Spirit of God drawing you to Christ. That's the Holy Spirit of God appealing to you. Will you believe? If the Holy Spirit of God is working in your life in that way, don't resist Him. God loves you. God cares for you. God paid a great price to make your salvation possible. And He doesn't want your life to be miserable and lost in this world. He wants your life to be abundant in this world, not necessarily material things or anything like that, but abundant in the spiritual blessings of God, and He has a home for you in heaven. He is appealing to you. Come and be saved. And I would encourage you to do that today. Walk that aisle just like I did on that Sunday morning I was saved. I was once saved in a church. You don't have to be saved in a church, but I was saved in a church. And yes, I walked the aisle. And yes, I took the preacher by the hand, and I told him these words, I want to be saved. And that preacher knew just exactly what to do to help me to give my life to Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, I hope you rediscover the Holy Spirit and His place in your life. Acknowledge His presence. Daily yield yourself to the indwelling Holy Spirit. Ask God to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. He'll speak to you. How does God speak to us? Through His Word, by the Holy Spirit. By the way, if the Holy Spirit of God is the one who inspired the writing of the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God will never lead you to do something that is contrary to the Bible. Why would the Holy Spirit of God, who inspired the Word of God, lead you to do something contrary to something that He has inspired, the inspired Word of God? I've had people come to me and say, well, I think God is leading me to do this. And what they thought God was leading them to do was in disobedience to the Word of God. And I can tell them, no, that's not God. I don't know who that is, but it's not God. Because the Holy Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God. So today, if you want to, you need Christ, I encourage you to come. Today, as Christians, let's pray that the Holy Spirit of God will have free reign and free control in our life. You say, well, that sounds Pentecostal. It'd be all right to have a little Pentecostal blood in the Baptist church, wouldn't it? We need some of that. No, this is not denominational. This is the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Say, I want to be a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led preacher. You know, my wisdom is not worth 2 cents when it comes to your eternal destiny. I want to share what God has shed and what God has opened and the truth of God. So I invite you to come to Christ today, and I invite you to be saved. And as a Christian, ask the Holy Spirit of God to just fill you and acknowledge His presence and give your life to Him. Would you pray with me?